Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Evan Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And tonight we have a little bit of a surprise, sort of a Loveline serendipity. Stephen Jenkins is here from Third Eye Blind.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We saw Third Eye Blind yesterday at the big K-Rock Weenie Roast concert, and they were great. And Drew, I guess, wrangled Stephen backstage and asked him if he wanted to come on the show.
Steve asked me, he said, why won't you have me on the show? And I said, you've got to be kidding. Tomorrow. He said, okay, I'm coming.
Well, he's a man of his word.
Yeah.
If memory serves, we saw Stephen last, I'm going with Chicago.
That's what I said, yeah.
Is that right? No, it was Chicago.
It was Chicago, and then I saw Drew backstage. The thing is, though, Adam, I didn't see you backstage.
Hey, this is San Francisco.
This is where this all started.
At San Francisco.
You're in San Francisco.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it turns out that Dr. Drew is the one who's a little bit rock and roll.
I'm making the scene.
Yeah. Is that what they call that?
Yeah, he made the scene.
Yeah, right? That's what they called it 25 years ago, Drew. You're so right about making the scene.
But I like this idea of being, you know, here I'm in L.A. and I just drop by and do your show. You guys know that I'm a big fan of your show.
Do that whenever you want.
Well, we're big fans of yours, and you really...
it's a mutual appreciation society.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you guys came on 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah.
You've been listening from your hometown of San Francisco for some years, or some time at least, before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're glad that we caught you at the very beginning, and we're glad to catch you in the midst of a good career.
But our Chicago experience was sort of surreal, wasn't it? Remember that? Because we were in that Mercantile Building, and it was... middle of the night,
yes.
2 in the morning.
Yes.
You and I don't know where the hell we'd been.
Oh, God knows. Who cares? I don't want to relive that. Guys,
I'm all choked up now. Can we just move on?
Yes.
I think you'd give me a hug or something.
That'll be during the break. The CD's called Stuff. We're going to hear Stuff.
It's called Blue.
Actually. Wait a minute.
That's something inside it.
What am I looking at?
No, the new CD's called Blue, and I think that's a merchandising insert.
Oh, why did they do it to me, Drew?
This is the cover of the album, actually.
What the hell am I looking at?
Yeah.
For the wrong page.
Yeah. That's our new record.
There we go.
That's our little baby girl.
And
Third Eye Blind Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that is Stuff.
Yes.
There you go. You can get Third Eye Blind Stuff by going to www.3eb.com.
Okay.
There you go. They're going to be heading out in July with Vertical Horizon, who was on this show about 2 months ago, who you guys have not met.
I passed the one of them in a hallway and said hello, and we're going to be spending some time together. Other than that, we have not met, but
they're
going to be a good tour.
They're good guys.
Yeah.
And they're good bands. So
we're going to do sort of an outdoor summer amphitheater vibe, and I think that'd be good for that because they have sort of a jam thing, so...
And yeah,
they'll bring sort of a little hippy dippy element to our rock show.
I look forward to it because you guys are good and they're good and together it's just going to be good times.
Yeah,
good
squared. Something really interesting about the whole vibe that's going on the music scene. Mm. That there's a lot of hostility and rage.
Yeah,
by white guys.
I think there's a lot of. I think there's always been a lot of, you know. I mean, Johnny Rotten said it best, anger is an energy, but, you know, it should be a smart energy. I don't know, it was a...
Too much of the F word.
I just, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
we're talking about the Weenie Roast.
Yeah, right? We're talking about the Weenie Roast, but I got to send a shout-out to Fred Durst, because I think he sort of gets a bad rap and then sort of always inciting people, but what I heard Fred say in front of 45,000 people is, if you see somebody get hurt, help them out. If you see somebody fall, help them out. And I think he was the only guy who said that yesterday.
Right.
I dig up to my man.
I left before things got out of hand because I had to go to the Fox Memorial in Santa Monica, the foul-mouthed, beer-drinking piano player who was on the Man Show last season and passed away, unfortunately. But don't worry, we raised a toast to him and sung more foul songs in Santa Monica. Speaking of the Man Show, premiere.
Tonight.
Tonight, 10 o'clock, right now. Don't turn the radio off. Just turn the TV on. That's all I'm saying. All right. Well, Letterman, you guys will be on the 27th.
Yeah.
And we'll play something off of Blue and all that stuff. But first, Paul.
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Well, I met this chick online. And, I mean, I don't really know if I should meet her in person because she's already talking about that. I mean.
How long have you been talking to her?
Oh, about 3 months now.
And if you're not interested in meeting her, why is that beginning to happen? Or how do you tell her you don't want to meet? Is that what you're asking?
I'm interested in meeting her. It's just, I mean, I don't really know if I should.
How old is she?
She's 15.
Where does she live?
She lives out by Detroit.
Where do you live?
I live down by Fort Wayne in Arcola.
How old are you?
Indiana.
How old are you again?
16.
16.
I would say no. I think if somebody's more than sort of 50 miles out of your radius,
oh, yeah.
16, forget it. It's just, no, there's nothing going to happen.
I'm just catching more on the buzzword of 15-year-old chick.
Yeah.
So now 15-year-old chick is not working for me.
And Indiana. I mean, you're Indiana, she's Detroit. I mean, Paul, come on.
And just think about the fact that she's more desperate to meet him.
Yeah.
That does not say good things.
Yeah, hey, Paul. And what if you meet her and what if you guys fall in love and then she goes back to Detroit and you go back to Indiana? Then you're miserable.
True.
Paul, can't you meet women?
Or she could have a mustache problem and then you've got all that gas mileage
right
behind you.
Because she's a guy.
Right.
Paul?
Yeah.
You can't meet women at your school?
Well, I can, but they're not that way. They're more like, well, let's just be friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to get over that. No matter who you're with, no matter where you meet them.
I didn't get laid in high school, Paul.
Okay.
It didn't work out for me.
Yeah. See,
it's not going to work out, and therefore it shouldn't work out for you either.
Yeah, you know, yeah, everyone's
as
miserable as Stephen was in high school, and me too. But here's the thing.
Lanky and alone.
If you had the ability to not to do anything other than go down the hall, look someone in the eye, and ask them to the prom, you would have done it. I mean, if there was another alternative,
yeah.
You'd go home, get on the computer, not have to deal with it, make stuff a little taller, a little better looking, a little richer. I mean, I don't blame the guy, but on the other hand, eventually, he's going to have to step up, and he might as well just step up in his hometown. Mohammed?
Yeah?
You're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm a first-time listener, a long-time caller.
Thanks.
What? It
made no sense, but I knew what you meant. Go ahead.
Drew, you're really cool, and...
Oh, man.
Found you out.
I have to beat that out.
Too bad.
All right. You call me.
That's also such a good stunt.
F and fudge monster. DJ?
Yes?
DJ, you're 19. What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you got to turn your radio down, TJ.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be one of those nights.
Mm-hmm.
TJ's period lasts 20 days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long has that been going on for?
About the past 3 months.
So three cycles where you only had a week of each cycle where you've not been bleeding. Is that right?
Huh?
Oh, it's going to be a long night.
No, I can't hear you.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three cycles where each of those cycles you've only had 1 week where you've not been bleeding.
Huh?
Yes.
And are you on any medication?
Uh-uh.
You doing any drugs?
No.
You got to kill yourself.
Any possibility you've been pregnant?
I don't know. I really haven't gone to the doctor to see about it.
I see. Check it out a little bit here.
Right?
There's all sorts of reasons this can be happening.
What's your theory, TJ?
I don't know. It could be from my boyfriend or whatever, because I'm not really sure.
You think it's your boyfriend?
Well, I don't know.
His penis is pointed.
Does he have a large penis?
Like a spear.
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah, and, like, this has never happened before with any guy I've ever been with.
I see. So, how big is your boyfriend's penis?
Like, what do you mean? When it's hard?
You know, when it's in between, instead of in between, not flaccid, not hard, but a little in between. Yeah, let's go with hard.
I don't know about 8 inches.
Wow. Yeah. He's a keeper. All right, so you think your theory is he may have stirred your innards.
Yeah.
I see. Maybe punctured a lung or something.
Aorta, bleeding.
Can I just jump here and say, like, if you're bleeding for a really long time, just go see a doctor. Can we just shorten this thing?
Could be infection.
I'm looking to have some fun here.
She could be pregnant. Could be infection. Could be thyroid.
Go see a doctor.
Absolutely.
You're the voice of reason, as usual.
If I said, huh?
Melissa, you're 15.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering if, like, can your condom overflow while you're having sex?
Can your condom overflow with sperm?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, Drew. And that has a reservoir.
What do you mean? What has exactly happened? What are you asking?
I'm asking, can it?
No. What happened? Is this something you're theorizing?
I'm just wondering.
No, don't worry about that. The problem is that it kind of slips down or slips off, and that can be a problem.
Did you have a problem? It sounds like we're getting at something else here.
No.
You didn't have a problem.
Uh-uh.
All right. So this is just a hypothetical for when you have sex with a condom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, good time.
I'm glad you're thinking about it.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think women know how much comes out, and I think I would estimate that they estimate it was too much.
Yes.
Wouldn't you? Like, you ask most women, most 15-year-olds, how much semen comes out of a penis. It's, I don't know, a quart. Quart, maybe.
Pint, maybe. Yeah,
if they're from Canada, they probably say it's about a liter. Yeah, it's really a teaspoon. Is that about it? And for me, it's in powder form because
powder. You're back to powder.
Yeah, it goes so often. It's just powder. I'll add water into my hamper later. Make a nice bouillabaisse
soup.
Teresa.
Yes.
You're 17.
Steve was still trying to follow you. There was powder.
Yeah, the powder thing lost me, and I think it lost everybody else. But you know, a teaspoon with a little hype and imagination goes a long way.
Teresa.
All right, baby.
What's up?
Hi, first can I say hi to Steven?
Yes, you can.
Hi, I saw you guys at the ASAP Festival. I stood out there in the rain the whole time. It was so much fun.
Thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet of you. Thank you. Did you have a good time?
My question was, what causes a person to get easily obsessed? And, like, I go from one obsession to the next, like, nothing.
Well, some of that is chemistry, some of that is psychology, and some of it is just being 17. So what's the situation? What's actually happening with you?
Well, I end up spending like so much time and energy on like one person or one band, and then I'll find a new person or band and.
So tell us, give us your latest example, so we can see sort of how far you go with this.
Well, I spend a whole lot of money on eBay. I'll tell you that.
For.
Okay, lately it's Korn.
Yeah.
The band Korn. I'm really, I loved them a lot. Like, a couple of years ago, I was really, really into them, and then it disappeared for a while. But then I saw them back in March. I went to one of their concerts, and it started all over again.
Yeah.
Yes, the Korn is great, and it's a worthy obsession.
Do you stay awake at night, unable to sleep, worrying, thinking about this?
Well, I mean, I for a couple of years now, it's been that I don't go to sleep until about, like, 4 or 5. This week, the sun came up before I went to sleep.
Drew, you were the same with Bobby Sherman in the late 60s, weren't you?
I was. But yeah. I was sort of an obsessive kid, too. And
yeah, well, usually, to me, it means there's not a whole lot else going on.
Also means you're depressed.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
But there's a healthy aspect to obsession, and I think when people are young and you're teenage, this is how people become expert in things. By being obsessive, and really the trick about this is for you to turn these things into really positive, focused things. Have you ever seen a gymnast who can do a backflip on a balance beam? This is a product of obsession.
Yeah, but...
You know, anybody who can dunk in high school is a product of obsession.
Obsessive compulsiveness is a quality that is reinforced by our society. And those qualities, you tend to do well in school, you tend to do well, you get to go on with things.
Right, but you, Stephen makes a real good point, which is you got to channel that energy. Yeah,
absolutely. You put these things into healthy things. I mean, the good news is that you've got a lot of energy, and you're going to have to find places that that really work. And if you really like Korn, then what this is that you like music. And what I would suggest is, what I would tell you is that every single member of Korn is utterly, completely obsessive about playing music, and that's how they became Korn. That's how they became good at it. So I recommend the guitar, or perhaps the bass.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Jane?
Hi.
You're 14. What's up?
I hear voices in my head sometimes, and I'm seeing a therapist. I was wondering, are they going to put me on medication?
Are you doing drugs?
No.
And how long have you been hearing the voices for?
Well, I've been dealing with a lot of stress lately, but it only kicked in about a month ago.
What do they say?
They just tell me how bad of a person I am and what I do wrong.
Are they actually voices you believe you're hearing, or are they just sort of tapes running in your head?
It's like a barking noise. It's like kind of like my dad's voice when he's really angry.
Yeah, but does it startle you? Do you think someone's standing behind you, or is it just...
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. They can't force you to take medication, but it is important for them to know how to help you. And the only way they can do that is to know exactly what you're experiencing. There's no way to make an assessment accurately without really understanding what it is that's going on with you.
Are you afraid of taking medication?
I don't want to, yeah.
How come?
Because I don't want it to affect my life in any way. I just want to get rid of this.
All right, well, medications only tend to only affect things positively. That's why you take them.
Do you think there's like a stigma attached to it? Is there?
Yeah.
Are you ashamed of it? That's not you. Not these days.
I don't want to tell my parents. I'm just really scared.
All right. Well, talk. Just the way you talk to us, you got to talk to your therapist, okay?
If you had an allergy and you took allergy medication, then that wouldn't freak you out. So
well,
just look at it the same way.
All right, but you know what he's saying from a stigma standpoint. Listen, Jane, what's worse, the medication or hearing the voices? All right, I'm going to answer for you. The voices.
I know.
All right? So you want to get rid of the voices? Maybe take the medication. You don't need to tell anybody. I mean, your parents should know, and that's fine. You don't have to tell your classmates or anything.
And you may not have to take medicine, but the people taking care of you do need to have an opportunity to at least make a decision about them. At least offer you.
Sure. What percentage of teenagers are on some medication these years?
I don't know the number of that, but it's a big
There's number. A lot
Pretty
of them.
Good, right?
There's a lot of them, and you're totally not alone. And if you look at people in your class, I guarantee you some of them are on medication.
Yes. God knows the cocktail you would have been on when you were in high school.
Oh, humanity.
Yeah. I mean, really, we'd have to carry those pills around in a hefty bag every day, just dragging them like Santa from class to class.
That's what I think I would have been there carrying that bag.
Taylor? Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You're 16.
Sorry.
What's up?
Well, I went to my friend's party maybe 3 months ago, and there was a whole bunch of my friend's friends, and I met one, and we hooked up that night, and we just hung out, and then there was this other guy there that seemed to like me, and then I saw him at another party maybe 2 weeks ago, and I didn't want to do anything with him because I don't know, but... I was at my friend's house, four nights ago.
All right.
And he came, and my friend told him to pick me up, and I didn't know about it. So then he came, and I went, and...
All right, here comes. Where's the punchline?
Here's my fear for this caller. I think we're going to head into the future with this. And then a week from now, here's what happened.
No, this is this other night. And
okay.
So he went to a dead end, and he forced me to do stuff with him, and I did. I just don't want to talk to my friends about it because...
You went to a dead end? You mean in the street?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to the police about it?
Because I don't want to get him in trouble. I mean...
Why not?
What did he force you to do?
I gave him head and just nothing really too... Not a big deal, but nothing.
Why don't you want to get in trouble?
Man, that was such a big deal when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I believe it's nothing now.
Nothing.
Jesus Christ. And how old is he?
18.
And by the way, you know, it's funny. When you're in a bad neighborhood, it's a dead end. But when you're in a good neighborhood, it's a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that the other day. Rich people live on cul-de-sacs, and it's good. It's like, yeah, I live on a cul-de-sac. Nice.
If you're in the hood, it's the dead end.
You live on a dead end, it's like, oh, brother, you got to get out of there.
It just seems like a really, really perfect opportunity to want to get him into trouble.
Oh, yeah.
He's everybody's friend, and I would be like, you know.
Come on, this guy.
Nobody, everybody.
This guy's an a-hole. He's a bad guy.
So this guy drove to a dead end, pulled over, and forced you to go down on him, right?
I told him 100 times, no, I'm not comfortable. And
he is a world-class dick.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah.
All right, and how long ago did this happen? I'm a little confused now. This is March of 47. When is this?
About 4 nights ago. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday?
It'd be sort of hard to prove anything since there's no evidence, I suspect.
No, but, here's the important thing, mainly. A guy like this is going to continue this.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm sure that wasn't his first time.
Of course. And he's got a technique down. I mean, he came up with a dead end.
Right. Yes, he's probably driven to that dead end many a time with many a 16-year-old girl who had a little self-esteem problem.
Yeah.
He's 18, he's gotten away with it. You need to get this on the guy's record so that the next time he does it, it gets reported, there's some precedent. You know what I mean?
And you also have to see this is that this is not your problem. This is now his problem.
It's her problem that she's such a good victim. and that concerns me about her, but this is about him being a bad guy.
I guess what I mean, Drew, by saying problem is that
nothing wrong with her.
There's not something wrong with you,
yeah.
And this isn't some mark of shame for you.
Right.
And as soon as you get over that,
she's
and you're pissed off.
Yeah.
So nobody ever asked for it.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as asking for it.
No, although I'd like it.
Why don't we hear it?
Except for Adam.
Yeah,
Adam's
begging for it.
Calling all men.
All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Stephen Jenkins. What?
When do we get back?
Yeah, well, here's
some sexual assault.
Yeah, here's some of the new Third Eye Blind CD after this. Yep, it is Loveline. We're back with Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind. He was nice enough to stop in with a surprise guest tonight. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Drew?
Yeah.
We just ran into watch a little bit of the Man Show premiere tonight, and Paulina saw two rhinoceroses making out.
Okay.
Is that all right? It was just bad timing. It really was.
I've never seen you blush before, Adam.
She looked up.
You're
and
conflicted.
I thought like maybe I'd throw a trash can at her, knock her down, and then dive on her or something. But then I thought that would probably send more trauma through the youngster than the actual vision of the rhinos.
What your sort of your what you produce for the media does to the people
I know,
of this
but
country.
Really. Our viewership is made up of responsible parents who keep an eye on their children, especially in the late night hours, and don't run wild and let their youngsters run around the studio.
No. It's not important.
It's all good. Paulina, say hi, though.
Hi.
There you go. Now, were you guys on a little field trip today, Drew?
We were, because of the Wiener Roast, we were down in Laguna, and we came back. It was Father's Day.
Yeah. That's right.
Anything about that, see?
Listen, I sent my dad to Philadelphia, so...
You did?
I did, yeah.
Visited his family?
Yeah.
His no-count family?
Yeah. He's no-count, too. My dad's great. It's like... now that I got money, he's like, hey, you want to give me a Father's Day gift this year? I'm like, yeah, what do you want, a shoe shiner, or a tie? How about paying for my Philadelphia trip? I'm like, how much is that? $1,800.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But that's it, right? I mean, nothing next year, right? All right, so he's back in Philly with his relatives, and I was doing Man Show today anyway, so I wasn't around. But it's always good to see Paulina in the studio. She's so fetching. She really is, and a delight. Yes.
And he also gives you another opportunity to plug the Man Show.
That's right.
It's great.
Which episode is it?
Oh, it's the going to wrestling school.
Oh, yeah. He actually was wounded.
Yeah, he was hurt. Yeah. Oh, good transition. That's right. Third Eye Blind, the CD is blue, and this is
about sexual assault.
Yeah.
And not about wrestling school.
No. Yeah. No. But it's still called Wounded.
But we've got some good wrestling school jams somewhere around here.
All right. We'll weave that into the next hour. Here we go. Wounded.
Touching you, oh, you're moving.
Off of Blue from Third Eye Blind. Real good song. Yeah, we just
my life
enjoyed
you.
All of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very nice. All right, let's hop
did
back.
Did we play that? I'm sorry.
No, we didn't play it yesterday. We didn't. No, we went with, we just went with more sort of crushing songs. You know, it was 45,000 people
I guess you
went out there to hit hard.
You got to change your setup a little bit if you're playing a 45 as opposed to 450 in some kind of theater or something, right?
Yeah, I hope someday. I'd love to play Wounded in the Stadium sometime, but I think it's better to play, Jumper and 10 Days Late. Maybe we'll play that one later.
If you're going to do it in a stadium, do you have to then bring out like an orchestra? Or, you know, other instruments. I mean, if you're going to try to fill up or do something that's more involved in front of
a... No, I don't think that really transfers. I mean, if you ever listen to, you know, really a lot of great rock bands, it's pretty simple. It's pretty amazing how much space you can fill up with, you know, like Led Zeppelin. It was always just those guys, you know?
Yeah, so sure.
Get to work.
I was thinking, as we watched those bands, whatever happened to the...
Old Horns.
Real Big Fish.
Yeah.
Crow Review, and Boston's even.
Well, I saw Boston's video on TV, I think, two nights ago or something like that. But, all that sort of ska stuff is falling a little bit by the wayside.
Well, we're in the new metal age right now. That's kind of what's going on, you know?
Yeah. Well, No Doubt was there yesterday.
Yeah,
Horns.
And Gwen, once again, proved herself as the best front man in rock and roll.
Jonathan?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes, indeed I am.
What's up?
Okay, my problem is when I've recently started putting my fingers inside of my girlfriend's vagina, you know?
Yeah.
And,
while they're still attached to your hand?
Yeah, while they're still attached to my hand.
Okay.
And the last time I did it, I got this really weird flesh-colored jelly. Playing on my fingers.
All right, we're going to put him on hold because he has a horrible sound.
And tell him that that's normal.
The flesh-colored jelly?
Yes.
Yeah, what is that? That's her soul, right? Yes,
that's her soul. Pieces of it.
It's all right.
It's normal.
Let me tell you, I'm 36 and I've figured out what's going on with that vagina.
You never
There's all kinds of stuff going on. It's a Rubik's Cube. I've learned not to try anymore.
Just try to
respect it. I hope the vagina respects my penis. And we're going to be, you know, like let me tell you something. I watch these Discovery Channel shows. They got the water hole there. There's the alligator. There's the lion. There's the rhino. There's the elephant. They all figure it out somehow. I mean, they could all eat each other, but yeah. They kind of don't want to all eat each other. That's the relationship I want with the vagina and the penis. It's a sort of mutual respect.
A position in the ecological system.
Right.
Right?
If the vagina gets to the watering hole first, then the penis has to wait till it's done before it moves in, and vice versa. Right. It's a sort of Serengeti Darwin.
If it happens to have a little gel attached to it, we'll just go with it.
That's right.
Who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
That's a song I wrote.
That's his life's work.
Yeah, that's my life's work.
Let me think about it.
That's Lena Gata DeVita there. Jen?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, a couple years ago, my dad had an affair. And recently he's been talking about, like, going to see this woman again and trying to, like, rekindle a friendship or something like that.
Who's he been talking to?
Huh?
Who has he been talking to about this?
He told my mom, actually, that he wanted to go see this person again.
Did your mom talk to you about it?
Yeah, actually.
Well, that's
why.
Yeah, why?
My mom talked to me about it, I guess, because, like...
she wants you to hate men, too, when you're broke.
She has no one else to talk to.
Yeah,
she cannot
she
be
doesn't really have anybody else to talk to because she doesn't, like, have a lot of friends.
Why not? Let her hear her.
Oh, boy.
Not good for you for her to make you buddy or parent, her parent.
No.
Not good.
But, like, I'm having a lot of trouble trusting him because he's actually tried to rekindle this friendship before and just kind of wound up, like, having...
This is more than you can deal with. That's really the issue here. And you shouldn't feel like... You should even try.
No, that's right. It's not your responsibility, but certainly it is outlandish of your dad to want to do this. Someone with whom his wife, I mean, your mom must be terribly threatened and feel awful. It certainly is disrespectful.
Yeah, this guy's got huevos the size of Montana. If he gets popped once and then is going to swing by Aunt Betty's place again 6 months later.
And point it out.
Just bring her name up is trouble.
Yeah.
Does your dad own a car dealership?
What?
Is he in a car dealership?
No, actually, he's a trucker.
There are wheels on the road, any way you slice it. All right, hey, Jen?
Yeah?
All right, here's your job. Do not get tangled up in this.
Uh-huh.
Do not distrust or hate all men because of it. I know it's going to be hard. And,
focus on taking care of it, do good in school, and move
out and go far away to college.
Take care of yourself, not everyone else. Okay? Your needs come first. Think about it. Identify them and make sure they're taken care of.
There's nothing freakier than when your folks, like, loses it in front of you when you're young.
Well, just when you find out, and which Jen's just done here, but in some degree everybody does, they find out, who their parents are. And once you find out that they're not God.
Yeah.
Except for, of course, Drew. It's always an unnerving and freaky experience.
It really is.
You don't get the choice. This is just a random. You're stuck with these people.
It should happen around 24, though, not 17.
Yeah, it really. You should be coming home from college or your girlfriend's house or your place. The folks have a little meltdown, and then you have a beer with Dad, and then get back in the car and head home.
I wish that there was this one thing that if I could tell people is that everybody's family is weird. It's always freaky. If you get four of them together, call somebody Mommy, Daddy, Sister, and Brother, you have yourself a tragedy and a horror movie right there.
That's
every single time. So you're not alone. It's always strange and bizarre for everybody. It's always just strange and bizarre in slightly different ways.
Right. And everyone is humiliated by their own family.
Utterly.
It's just a matter of degree.
Yeah.
It really is. They all have their piece. Even Dr. Drew, who comes across as squeaky clean, I know, he has his issues with his
folks, right? He's rock and roll. He's out there. He's been on tour with me lately.
Well, he was born to rock, and he was forced early, another family issue, by his father.
He's got a job on ponytail. It's amazing. I said, you know, you don't need that anymore. He's like, it's my thing, man.
Gives him his balance. Helps him make so he finds his chi. He's out of the stage. All right.
Just left.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. We have Stephen here from Third Eye Blind, and when we come back, we'll talk to Rachel. Has a rash all over her body since getting raped at the prom. We'll tell her what to do about that after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Stephen is here from Third Eye Blind. We'll hear something off of their CD Blue, and I want to tell you guys that they'll be going out on tour with Vertical Horizon. There's another good band who was in here a couple
of weeks. The Red Sun Tour.
So look for them coming to a town near you. We'll hear something else off of the CD soon, but first we'll talk to Rachel, who's 18. Rachel?
Hi.
Hey. So what happened?
I was dating this guy for like 3 years, and I thought we had both decided to like wait till we were married to have sex. And then we went to my senior prom, and apparently he didn't want to wait anymore.
Did he actually rape you, or did he just sort of coerce you?
He raped me.
Not that there's a big difference, but...
Well, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, part of me thinks that it's like, you know, partially my fault, but I know better than that.
Did you break up with him?
Not yet.
Did you report him?
No.
Did you say no during this experience?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long ago did this happen?
A month ago.
I see. Oh, and you haven't broken up with him yet?
He was so apologetic afterwards. I don't know. It's just really hard.
So you guys have been sort of carrying on in your relationship? Well,
that's a new rap. How did someone then apologize profusely?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
So...
He knew how upset I was, so, I mean, I think he just got carried away.
All right. And what rash do you have?
I have this rash all over my torso. I don't know if it's related to that.
Well, he was a virgin, too, right?
Well, that's what he said, but I don't know if I can trust him anymore.
All right, if a guy says he's a virgin, he's a virgin.
Yeah, if a guy says he's not a virgin, he may be a virgin.
How old is he?
He's 19.
Actually, he's 29 or something.
There's a rash all over your torso.
Have you been, as part of this sort of upset you're experiencing, have you been scratching yourself and that kind of thing?
No, I haven't been scratching.
Okay. Is this an allergic, is it a itchy rash?
It is, but I don't scratch it because I just don't want to make it worse.
Any medications or anything like that for you lately?
I've been using cortisol on it. But
oh, no, before the rash developed?
Oh, no, I'm not on any meds.
Okay. Well, just for your education, although this doesn't sound like what you're dealing with, the STD that should be of concern to you if you get a body rash, the particular one that involves your palms, would be syphilis.
Okay.
And it will come after a few weeks after the chancre heals. The chancre will ulcer, there's usually painless at the site where the contact occurs, and then a few weeks later this rash develops.
On your palms?
It usually includes the palms, yeah.
Oh, my God, I've been learning to masturbate my foot. I think I could do it.
Why?
Okay.
You get a rash on my palm?
No, you get no matter where you get the syphilis, the rash appears all over your body, including your palms.
I'm still saying I'd have to learn to masturbate with my foot.
Well, you can't give yourself syphilis back to yourself.
Yoga.
Yeah, but it just seems like handling my palm. Yeah,
you worry about your palm.
I put an oven mitten on and go at it.
I understand that anything that involves the hand is a great concern to you.
Oh yes.
So
these are my tools.
Okay, so you don't have a rash on your palms, but you have one on your torso, and that's
what
you're
really about. I don't think this has anything to do with that, except that maybe just the anxiety and whatnot that's come from it.
Okay.
And Rachel, you sound pretty upset about this.
Have you talked to anybody else about it? Do you have a doctor? Do you need a doctor?
I live in a small town, so I'm really scared to talk to anybody about it.
And how is it you can be this upset, you know, a month later and not break up with the guy? I mean, what do you do?
I just in front of my desk.
Why do you feel not this sort of not worthwhile?
What do you mean?
That you accept this kind of treatment from somebody and still hang in.
We broke up before once because, like, we're just having problems, and he, like, went crazy kind of about it, and I'm just kind of scared too.
Has he ever hit you?
No.
Did he bruise you? Like, did he bruise your arms or any other part of your body when he raped you?
Yeah, my wrist.
Your wrist? He held your wrist down?
Wow.
You need to protect yourself from this guy, and what he did was really wrong, and what you did was not wrong. And you need to find somebody in your town who you trust, who you can talk to about it.
It's just that I don't trust anybody not to mention it to somebody else.
Well, if you tell a medical caretaker, they have a responsibility. It's illegal for them to tell anybody.
Do you have a doctor, Rachel?
Yeah.
That's when you should start.
Yeah, you should go see your doctor, and the doctor will assure you about your rash and talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, there's something going on here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Rachel is upset because she's a victim of rape, and I don't blame her, but there's a lot more going on.
That special feeling.
Yeah. You know, guys out there, this is Stephen Jenkins talking. Let me just give you a piece of advice. Don't rape chicks. Just don't set yourself on fire with gasoline. These are just sort of absolute truths. And don't rape anybody. It never works out. Everybody ends up upset. It's just a bad idea.
And look at it this way. Here, let me do some rape math for you guys. You have two choices in victims. You have one choice in a victim who you rape and then reports you to the police immediately and you get arrested, which is not a great scenario for you. And then there's the other victim, which you rape, who just turns in on herself, like Rachel, doesn't talk to anybody. You never get in any trouble, except where you have to live with sort of screwing up someone even more who's already been screwed with in the past. Meaning, maybe this person's uncle got to them when they were five, and now you get to get to them. So you get to sleep with that every night.
So much of this,
enjoy.
So much of this is so related to high school, and the reason why is because everybody goes around high school thinking that everybody else is getting it. Mm. And I know this. They're not.
No.
Nobody else is getting any either.
No, there's one guy who gets
Except
it all.
Drew, who's just
a good thing that they're not.
Oh, he's very passionate. Still is. Sharon?
Yes?
You're 18.
Hey, Adam. I just want to say happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I kind of forgot, but...
Yeah, so did Drew. And by the way, Jimmy Kimmel, my other male lover beside you, Drew, got me the hot... shaving cream lather dispenser.
No, I'm
going
to get you.
Oh, right, how dare you. You were not going to give me that
anyway.
I've
got something for you.
I hope it's out in the car.
No, it's good. I'm going to order. I'm going to work for myself.
Well, I got Adam. I didn't forget. I got him this Pippi Longstocking commemorative garlic press.
Yeah.
He told me it comes in handed with a
Caesar
salad.
This is going to go with your lovey shades and everything.
I had two. You know, it was funny. Oh, hold on a second, Sharon. You know, we wrapped up the man show today, and my manager got me one of these really cool DVD, these mini portable DVD players.
Another
right?
one?
Well, that was the point.
Oh.
The producers last year got me a DVD player, mini portable DVD player, for the rap show. I mean, when we ramped the show. So he handed it to me. I know it's like $1,000 item.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a very expensive, nice item. He hands him and he went, you know, he was beaming with pride. He said, well, look what I got you. I hope you can use it. And immediately went through my head, which is, the producers got me one last year, but what do? So he goes, you can use it, can't you? And I'm like, oh, hey, this is great. You know, this is beautiful. And he's like, yeah, it's very nice. I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm going to use this, baby, when I travel. I'll use it on the plane. And then there's a pause, and he goes, you don't have one already, do you? And I'm like, oh, well, let me think. I may have one lying around. I'm not sure. And then, like an idiot, I go, well, I got one, but it's small. The screen, whereas yours is a 4.5-inch screen. This one's only like 4.25, 4.375 the one I got. It's no good. So I'm like, okay, I'm not like, Howard, this is great. This is great. I love it.
You can give it to me.
All right, so here's now the knife gets twisted because we go up, we finish the shows, I go up to the office, I put my feet on the desk, I got a big pile of junk that people have given me, little flasks and lighters and stuff, the man show, little presents up. I pile them all up on top of each other and I start heading out to the car to come to Loveline. I realize as I get down the stairs and halfway to the car with this pile of junk that I've left the DVD player on my desk. I stop for a minute and I think, Screw it. I'm going in the office tomorrow. I'll pick it up tomorrow. No big deal. Run into Howard in the parking lot. He sees me carrying the pile of junk. Where's the DVD player? It's too valuable to transport. It's up on the desk.
I'd care by itself.
Yeah.
In both cases.
Yeah. It was like,
did you ever come clean?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I came clean to him. So I don't know what to say. I got two DVD players. You know what I told him? I said, listen, I got that second house now. I'll put the DVD player in the second house. That'll be fantastic.
You know, you got a car now and a DVD player. You got a manager. You're really coming up in the world.
I know. I'm so fat right now.
And Sharon's got a question for Steve.
Oh, now we got to take a break.
And we have to take a break.
All right, but listen, and Steven is only staying for the first hour. All right, okay, here's what we're going to do. Steven's going to stay past commercial. He's going to answer Cher's question, and then he's going to leave.
All right.
All right?
All right, is that okay with Steve?
In that order.
Yeah. All right. All right, we'll be back. Yep, we're back. All right. Steven's here from Third Eye Blind. Blue is the name of the CD. We'll hear another song off that. Steven was nice enough to come in here tonight on very short notice.
Just because I like it. Just because I like your show and I like you guys. And I had nothing to do tonight.
I
want to be real with you.
Reality had to come through.
It's great. Now, you know, compliments always sort of trail off. It'd always be best if you just nip them.
Well, let's just keep being real. But actually, now I got a call here and I'm going to meet some...
Yeah, you got to answer this.
So we can get here at 11:30.
That's right. Sharon?
Uh-oh.
Still here.
Sharon, there.
Hello, Sharon.
Hi. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm talking to Stephen Jenkins. All right.
Here we are.
I just wanted to ask you, like, how Blue, you know, this CD is different from your last CD, because I've noticed, like, the songs that have been released, you know, recently have had, like, a different sound
than
some of the other ones I've listened to. So, like, what brought on that whole influence in this CD?
Well, I think the best answer that I can give to you, Sharon, is that we already made the first CD, and I didn't have any interest in making it again. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of bands sort of make a career out of trying to repeat themselves, and I think we'd just be really, really bored. So we're trying to do different things. I think the next record we'll make is going to be something different again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea of trying to keep finding out what Third Eye Blind is and staying excited about what you do. And I think actually from song to song on our albums, they're not very repetitive as well. So it really just comes down to the idea that we work based on the idea of things that are exciting to us, and we don't want to become a karaoke band.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Because I saw you guys about 2 years ago, and it was like the best show I've ever been to. And I actually got to meet, I don't want to screw up his name, Orion. Orion and Brad. And
well, so. Orion and Brad are pretty beautiful individuals, and I feel really lucky to be in a band with them.
Yeah.
So,
Where did you see the show, Sharon?
In Fresno.
Well, Fresno rocks. You can't farm Fresno.
I don't know about that.
You can get farming equipment, and you can just totally throw down at a rock show in Fresno.
Yeah. Adam.
Yeah.
We wanted to know, like, my friend Lori. We do a radio show at our school, Fresno State, and we were just curious if you guys ever come down this way to, like, do some kind of.
Oh, sure. Adam would be glad to come down there. What are you doing tomorrow, Adam?
I'm gonna be on the next biplane to Fresno. I'll be there tomorrow morning. You guys do a morning show?
Yeah.
I'll bring my cowbell.
Just have some Krispy Kremes waiting for him, and it's all good.
Hey, Sharon, I would do it if I was in Fresno. I'll do a phoner with you.
Oh, that'd be cool, because we actually, like, try to do your little lightning round. Like, we try to do a remake.
Oh, kids, don't do that.
You might hurt yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Sharon.
Uh-huh.
I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
And,
here's the deal. Adam is going on vacation. He just finished the Man Show.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's all about charity now. All of a sudden, he's got time on his hands.
That's right.
Well,
giving, loving Adam.
What's that?
I'm your number one fan. You don't even know.
Well, thank you. No, you're right. I don't know.
Well, Sharon, thanks a lot for the props.
We do appreciate it.
I was interviewing with somebody yesterday at that event. I was sort of thinking to myself and to them how many nice people there are in that. I know there's sort of an angry vibe in there too.
Yeah.
A lot of nice folks in your business right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is something that people overlook because you always see about what gets printed in the media and what sells copy, I suppose, is all the static. The fact is that we had, our friends in so many bands out there. There's a real camaraderie.
I mean, the guys, just the Afternoon Lab, Lit, FTP, you guys.
I've got friends in all those bands.
Cypress Hill. I mean, these Cypress. Are really great. I mean great people.
Yeah, and we were all sending shouts out to each other on
Everclear. Everclear. I mean, it was just one after another. Really great. And that's not been that way. I've been around this radio business for a long time, and I don't know what I can say.
And you know what else? Yeah. Is that we were really all standing great. Out watching each other play. You know, I look to the left, and there's Fred just... There's Durst, like, watching our show, like, singing the words, and then we come back and get together, and we're all on stage watching No Doubt, and
No Doubt,
everybody's
okay.
there for Moby's Cypress Hill. And,
yeah,
Moby, I mean, there really is that feeling going on, and what's really interesting is, Moby and Third Eye Blind and Cypress, you know, and Korn have nothing to do with each other musically at all.
Right.
Except that we probably all have stolen something from hip hop. Other than that, it's so divergent. But there's something beautiful about making music. There's a struggle to it, and everybody sort of connects on that. And that is going on right now. I think that's a really healthy thing.
Yeah, the only a-holes are Black Grape. And I think they broke up.
That's very funny. When I was doing the thing, I was talking about these bands, how much I enjoyed meeting these people. And I said, I remember the time when Black Grape was around Blur. What a band.
Well, the British bands, except for, a lot of those guys have this sort of public school attitude of sort of one-upmanship. And
yes.
We don't have that.
Well, they take on a sort of persona, which is we're in a band, so we got to be, sort of antisocial or pain in the ass. Yeah, and it's just, boy, it's like talking to these people, it's like pulling goddamn teeth. All right. Speaking of pulling teeth,
I'm going to go.
Let Steven
go.
Guys,
thanks for having me on your radio show.
Well, you're our new go-to fill-in host, by the way.
Right. Okay.
So, turn an ankle.
Speaking of go-to,
Steven's going to be in here.
Well, that's true.
All right. Steven Jenkins, thank you very much. Third Eye Blind, everyone. You can listen on the ride to wherever you're going, Steven. We'll play the song off of...
I will.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to play. All right. Drew, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I ran into the producers of PI, and they want us to do like these... Something for the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. They told me they wanted me to do it. They didn't say anything about we.
Right. She came up to me and said something about
it. I see. They're probably thinking you could get to me or something. All right. Well, I'm not looking to work anymore. That's it. I'm done. And if I have to fake an injury and collect disability, whatever it's going to take. I wrapped my 26-man show tonight, and I've been going for 7 months, and that's it. I'm going to fly my model airplanes. I'm going to sleep all day. I'm going to put on about 65 pounds and start living like a recluse. I'm going to be like Brando.
You're going to wear Kleenex boxes on your feet.
Kleenex boxes on the feet. I'm going to start storing my own urine in some sort of big vat.
Rolling up your stool, a little ball, flying it up.
That's good. Right. Right.
I had a patient do that once.
Roll up his stool in little balls.
Yeah, he left it there in the, the nurses have those little wall roofs, little things to pull out of the wall. Just line it all up in there for the nurses.
Very nice. Yes, makes a nice snowman. You roll those in coconuts, you got a hell of a after-dinner treat there, Drew. Carolyn?
Yeah?
You're 21.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my dad is an alcoholic, and I was wondering, like, what are the odds of me becoming an alcoholic? Because I think I have a pretty good association with alcohol, but my mom is just convinced that I'm just going to become some raging alcoholic just out of nowhere.
It's 50-50.
Okay.
And I suspect you would already have a sense, if you're using alcohol regularly, whether or not you had momentum with that.
Now, let me ask you this, Drew. 50-50 for the alcoholic gene.
Yes.
That still doesn't mean 50-50 alcoholic.
That's right.
It just means you may have the gene.
Yeah,
now, you may never touch booze.
But she said she had a good relationship with
I think I do.
If you have if you have the family history,
uh-huh.
and you have consequences that are significant in your life as a result of your relationship with alcohol, and that relationship has some momentum to it, that's the disease.
Uh-huh.
So if you've been getting a DUI, if you have a relationship breakup, you just screwed up in school, if you spent a lot of money, or some consequence.
Okay. No, see, it's nothing like that. I mean, I know not to drink, like, when I'm unhappy or sad.
Or
I don't
blacking out.
My emotions.
Blacking out.
No, none of that.
All right, so you may not have it.
Okay.
You'll marry an alcoholic, though.
All right.
That's
well,
the pattern.
You
be
gotta,
careful.
You got to keep the gene pool alive. Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
My dick's too big.
I see. How big is it?
About 14 long and 3.5 inches wide.
14. That's it, huh?
I'm a big boy.
Show me that with your ruler hand.
Now, let's
just show.
Yeah,
just
yeah, if you're gonna lie, can't you go 9.5? You know what I mean? You gotta go 14.
Just show me 14. So
I'm
gonna go
okay, I'm showing through because I'm an ex carpenter and I know all sizes. This is between the fingers right there. That is 14 inches. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the drawer.
Yeah. There's 12 inches in a foot, by the way. All right, so he wants to know how to shrink his penis. Double it over.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, see, 14 is impossible. Hold on, I got to talk to him. Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you measure your penis?
Actually, yes.
Yes, and it's 14.
Yes.
14 even.
Just under.
Just under 14.
The ruler, right?
13 and 7 eighths, yeah. Yeah, how do you do that? You use a 1 foot ruler, you mark it off with a Sharpie, and then slide it up another 2 inches?
I see it was a yardstick, but.
I see. Oh, God, the day I measure my penis with a yardstick. What a triumph that would be. Can you imagine having a ruler?
At this point, it would be sort of a.
Right.
Dwarfing, right? It would
yeah.
be a little bit of a problem.
As I've said many times, my new official method for measuring my penis is, and listen closely, from the center of the anus to just beyond the tip.
Got it.
That is my standard.
You might make Ordain.
Even that's a little bit of a reach. Let's see. Center of the anus, just beyond the tip. Still at
9.5.
Still at 9.5, yeah. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do, because Stephen from Third Eye Blind was such a nice guy. Stopped by on such short notice and is always such a friend of the show. We're going to hear something from Third Eye Blind off of their new CD. And here's the deal, everyone. We have certain bands that have been around for a while and are what we would consider friends of the show. Third Eye Blind is definitely one of those. And if you're a fan of the show, then you should be a fan of the band and buy the CD and support the guys.
Did I
do that
yeah,
math right?
Good.
All right. This is called 10 Days Late.
There's no sense of way to let you know. Funny how the sea always cries.
so what to do? I can't lie. I don't know. No one's laughing, I work to a thing. I walk away, but no, I don't know.
Yeah, it is Love Line. That is 10 Days Late, another good song off of Blue from our friends Third Eye Blind. All right, Drew?
Yeah.
Ready to hop back on the phone? Wendy?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I have a question. I've been on the pill for about 7 months now, and I just got back from a vacation, and I was in the sun a lot, and I noticed that my upper lip has, like, kind of a dark...
Brownish discoloration.
Yeah.
Get around your cheeks, too. Sort of a mask along your...
No, just on my upper lip.
But that's from the pill.
It is.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
being in the sun?
Yeah, that's what it makes it come out. Pregnancy will do the same thing. So it's the body basically thinks it's pregnant. That's what the pill basically does.
So what should she do?
Wear lots of sunscreen.
And what about for what she has already?
Well, there are bleaching agents. You could talk to a dermatologist about it, but they are difficult things to control.
Miguel?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
You're 15, what's up?
Yeah, I like to kill animals.
I see.
And, they told me that it was pretty normal for my age.
Who told you that?
My friend.
Marlon Perkins.
Another 15-year-old?
Yeah.
No, but we wouldn't, killing animals is not a good thing.
Oh, what kind of animals?
It's because, I like to go hunting, for rabbit. Yeah. And then, my uncle, he got rid of some dogs, and we saw them, they were, running around. And I just blessed him with the shotgun.
I see. What do you mean he got rid of some dogs?
Yeah, he didn't want them anymore. He threw them out in the fields.
I see.
And, we saw him running around, so I'm like, well, hey, if it moves, it dies.
Yeah. If it moves, it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad trio. Mm. Yeah, I like that. You got a shotgun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Oh, you got two of them.
Yeah.
All right. And where's your dad?
My dad, he lives in Bakersfield.
Did he used to kick the crap out of you a little bit?
No.
No.
He never hit me.
No. He just hit you with the butt of the gun?
No. Yeah. He gives me whatever I want.
I see. I mean, you don't live with him, huh?
No.
I see. Well, you know what you gotta do with that shotgun? You gotta shoot that goddamn smoke detector that keeps going off above you. That means that you need a new battery, Miguel. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Man, you have any girlfriends, Miguel?
Yeah, I had a couple.
Yeah, a couple. Here's the thing, Miguel. Chicks normally don't like guys who kill stuff.
I know.
So it's probably best just to slow down a little on that.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I'm trying to figure out what's making you so angry and rageful.
I want to be a Navy SEAL.
All right.
I'm
Might as well
start training.
No, not at 15. In fact, they'll teach you more about discipline and focusing some of that energy.
Well, listen, if you want to start training, why don't you go down to the beach and take a mask, fill it full of seawater, put it back on your head, and then do push-ups out on the sand, and put some combat boots on and run in place for a while.
And you could take some swimming. Some sort of extreme sports activities you can get into, really physically trying. Oh, 15, that's not a great idea.
I met this chick last night sitting at the Fox Memorial in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about folks who like to drink a little.
Oh, yeah.
The Fox, of course, was the old piano player for the Man Show who passed away very tragically a few months ago. They had the big memorial, and they sung all the Fox's songs. And sucked up beer and, Barnacle Bill the Sailor and all the other good, shanties. I ran into some chick and she kept telling me, it was really weird. She said, my brother, he's in town to visit. You know what he does? I said, no. He kills people for a living. I said, that's nice. Can I have my phone number back, by the way? No, I wasn't picking up on her. She said, he's a Navy SEAL.
Oh.
I said, okay, well, that's nice. And then she kept working it into every conversation we had. It was like, he kills people. And then the guy showed up and is like, hey, Kurt, this is Adam. He kills people for a living. And I thought, honey, relax a little with that stuff. You know what drives me nuts, too? When you meet people and they want you to ask them questions, but they want to pretend like you didn't ask them to ask the question, so they don't give you an answer.
Right.
Like they'll go, hey, how you doing? Good. What do you do? I do some TV, some radio. Yeah, you want to know what I do? yeah. Sales. Yeah. What do you sell? A little this, a little that. Like, all right, honey, what? Don't bring it up. Because you know what? Here's the truth. I don't give a rat's ass what you do. But as long as you're going to bring it up and we're having a conversation,
go ahead and tell me.
And you say sales, then I'm going to ask. And then your answer of a little bit of everything, that ain't an answer. Just don't bring it up. Then don't bring it up. Don't anyone bring up anything they're not fully prepared to talk to. And by the way, if you think people are interested, they're not. Trust me, they're not. Especially when you start with sales. And listen, I don't care if you're selling office furniture. I don't care if you're selling cars. I don't care if you're selling copy or toner. It's all sales to me, and I just could be less interested. I just couldn't be, I should say. All right.
Commercial.
No, I was just getting fired up.
I know.
All right. Is it true that that's all that Navy SEALs do is kill people?
I mean, that's the other things they do.
We'll take ourselves a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk to you after this. It is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. I'm just smelling my stinky Zoris, as we used to call them, my thong shoes. They don't warn you when you buy these new slip-on Nike sort of sandals,
neoprene
sandals, that they stink to high heaven.
Neoprene makes your feet stink.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
I was soaking them in the shower in my dressing room today, and Daniel, the producer, came in, and he said, throw those things out, buy new ones. I said, they smell worse when they're new. But he just kept, he stuck with his angle. He was like, listen, I just sent my assistant out, got me some new ones. You should get a new pair. I said, here's the deal. Remember how much you were complaining last year this time when I was wearing these? They were new. They're bad. They were worse. They're worse new. Yeah, I know. You just got to toss them out every once in a while and get a new pair. I said, listen, you're missing the math here. They're worse new. So new ain't an option. What I should do is trade them for some older ones. I'm thinking of suing Nike, by the way. Yeah. Still haven't got to the bottom of how much they're paying their biggest shoe-endorsed WNBA star up there, you hypocritical a-holes complaining about why aren't chicks making money in your stupid spots. Yeah, you pay them, idiots. Jody?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, back in September of 98, I was raped. And to make a long story short, I ended up not finding out that I had warts until after I had sex with a really trusted friend of mine, this guy that I've been friends with forever.
Then he got them?
What was that?
Then he got them?
I don't know. I didn't find out until after, and now he's moved away at school, and, you know, he's a guy that stresses out about a lot of things, and I don't know how to tell him.
Mm, I see.
That you could have these.
I want to create degrading cards about things like this.
Yeah. Hey, Jody?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know you're raped?
Yeah.
He does.
I think you got to just tell him that's how it happened. You didn't know, and you thought he should know.
What's the best way of going about it? And is there any kind of comforting news? I mean, I know
comforting
it's really
news is it's not going to hurt him. And as long as he wears a condom, there's a good chance that he'll keep it from spreading to the other.
What happened with the rape?
It was at a party. And I don't even know the guy. I mean.
Yeah. Well, you're 20. You sound like you're 14.
Yeah. I get that sometimes.
You all right?
I wonder why that is.
Anything happened before this rape?
No, I've never been sexually abused before it. My dad used to hit me, but
yeah.
Except for that, nothing.
Yeah, I get that from your voice.
Yeah.
You all right with that now?
Yeah, I mean, I love my dad, and he doesn't do it anymore.
Do you pick abusive guys?
No, I don't.
It was not rape, a date rape kind of thing?
It was just at a party, and,
Did you report him?
No, I mean, I don't even know if his name is.
Yeah, but that's where dad's influence continues to rage on.
Listen, I've said this many times. My dad missed a couple of Pop Warner football games. I've never forgiven him. I don't like the man because of that.
Oh, no count.
No count. Lazy and no count. Like pork salad Annie. So, the point is your dad beats on you for a while? As a girl, too. You know what I mean? And then, listen, parents shouldn't be beating on anybody, but if you're going to beat on someone, beat on your boys. They can beat up on someone on a gridiron on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Beating on your little girl as a daddy, it just ain't, it's not kosher.
Society, can't we do something about that?
No. But listen, daddies who beat on their little girls, enjoy. They're going to get raped at some party. Your little girl, she's going to get passed around at parties.
It happens early enough, so then become a stripper. And fulfill your lifelong dream.
That's right. Make a nice porn film. All your buddies can watch it at work. Brian?
Hello?
You're 15.
Yeah. Well, see, before I got on, I called to talk to Steven.
Oh.
He left, and I didn't know that, and it's not bad. But anyways, I still got a question.
All right.
For Drew?
Yeah.
Drew?
Yeah.
I need to know when I know that it's time that I can have sex with my girlfriend.
When do you know if you're ready?
Yeah.
You're,
you have to ask that question, you're probably not ready.
Your nuts should turn a yellowish, sort of purple-yellow hue.
In general, then,
right?
How old is she?
15.
Yeah, that's early for her, really. Yeah. Just from a standpoint of just how the brain develops and the emotional systems develop.
So I shouldn't be worrying about it yet?
No, it
seems like everyone at school, everyone's kind of talking about it.
No, if you hit 17, you're still in a clear relationship with her, that would be sort of normal. That would be a normal part of that relationship development.
So I should probably just hold off till then?
Hang in there, Ryan. The fact that you're willing to hang in is a good thing.
All right, thanks.
All right. All right. Just bottom another 3 weeks, Drew. God bless you. Jason?
Yes.
You're 19.
Yes, I'm naturally attracted to women who've been victims a lot. And
easy pickings.
What?
Easy pickings, that's why.
Was your mom abused or something? Or were you taking care of your parents in some way when you were growing up?
Yeah, I was. And I mean, in my relationships now, I keep trying to help these victims, and I set myself up for more hurt.
What was the deal about you taking care of your parents? What happened there?
Just, weird family situations.
I don't know.
Enough said, Jason. I think we all get the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say some things in case anyone recognizes me.
No, but the point is you did a lot of parenting and caretaking of your parents.
Right.
All right. So why don't you get yourself a little therapy, and then you won't keep doing this for the rest of your life.
See, what happens is, at those stages in development when you needed a parent in order for your brain and emotional systems to develop in a proper way, in order to have that nourishment it needs for yourself to develop, it wasn't there. You were busy focusing on taking care of other people, and that's the only kind of gratification you could get, any sense of worth you could get, was by taking care of somebody else rather than the usual milestones that you would be able to go through if somebody were there helping you. So that's why therapy has a role to play here, is that the available other person will help you get through those milestones again.
Carly.
Hi.
You're 20. What's up?
Well, I'm about to get married, and I've been with this guy for about 5 years, and on and off, and we have a little baby together. And before we got together, I had a lesbian experience with one of my best friends, and now I'm kind of leaning towards women more than men.
I see.
And, I really, really love my fiancé with all my heart,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. I'm finding women more and more attractive every day.
Drew's doing the same thing. it's all the rage now. What happened to you when you were a kid?
What happened to me when I was a kid? What do you mean?
Anyone monkey with you?
No.
No? Just into the chicks and the lads?
Yeah.
Why such confusion at age 20? Most people sort of this stuff out by the time you're 18.
Well, it's just coming, it happened to me before we got together, and now I'm feeling it again.
All right. And how old's your child?
Two.
Is it more a function of not wanting to get married than anything else?
What's that?
Do you not want to marry him?
I really do. I want to marry him.
No, I don't think you do.
I
don't buy it. If you really did, you wouldn't be having these feelings suddenly swelling right as the impending marriage approached. Do you see what I'm saying, Carly?
Yeah, but I really do.
All right, well, go get married then. But these feelings are kicking in for a reason.
That's true.
And if you're going to get married...
I should do about it.
Well, if you're going to get married, you're going to have to commit yourself. You're going to have to relinquish the choice that you now have.
Okay.
All right. So, listen. Don't get married then.
Okay.
Okay, but don't screw around. You got kids. Or a kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What's up with you? Really, what happened to you? Where's your dad?
My dad is dead.
When did he die?
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, I said you were 10. What was the circumstance?
What's that?
How did he die?
He had cancer, bone marrow cancer.
Oh, boy. That's pretty heavy for a 10-year-old. Especially since he's probably going through it for a little while, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Therapy for you, too.
I don't need therapy.
No, yes, you do.
Okay.
Listen, you can't even figure out whether you like guys or girls. You're kidding me?
I like them both.
Carly?
Oh, boy. Listen, Mama, you have a 2-year-old.
Yes.
Now get some therapy. You're going to screw that kid up. You hear me? You got issues. They need to be worked out. This whole I like them both is nonsense. And listen, all you crazed bisexuals out there, I'm not listening to you. I'm really not. I label this as a bizarre behavior. Deviant, I tell you.
Well, but
you're all screwed up.
But into both is one thing, but make the choice and make your commitment, and that's fine.
Yeah, fuckily. Do you need any more definition of screwed up than into both sexes? Everyone just sit down, close your eyes for a second, and think about definitions, explaining them to what you call adjusted people about being screwed up. Being into both sexes, that's screwed up. It is. It just is. And listen, all that nonsense of, that's right for him, but it's not right for her, and who are you? I'll tell you who I am. I'm the judge, jury, and executioner. That's who I am.
But don't you think it's okay for people not to judge other people for being that way?
Well, as long as, as long as you're not calling them, you should hire them. You should not take them out and beat them.
You
should definitely know they're screwed up. And personally, you might not want to hang around with them, just like you wouldn't want to hang around with someone else who's screwed up for another reason.
People don't want us to hang around with you.
Yeah. Listen, here's the beauty. I wish people would stop wanting to hang around with me. I really do. All of you. Leave me alone. Thank you very much. All right, Drew, why don't we take a break on
what?
Time?
And then what?
It feels early. No, I'm too tired for Atlanta.
Sure.
I really am. We'll be back, and we'll talk to you after this. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Drew's young daughter has not gone to sleep yet.
No. She wants to talk in that microphone, too.
Yeah. Well, heat it up there, Anderson. Seriously. Yeah.
We hear you now, Paul. You're on the air. You can say something.
Boy. She was like Ethel Merman 10 seconds ago. Now look at her. She's clammed up.
There you go. Say hi.
Paulina?
Hi.
Hi. Hey, Paulina. No using the F word or the S word on the air, all right?
Yes.
Okay. Enjoying yourself?
Yep.
What's your hamster's name?
Herman. I call him Coconut, too.
why do you call him Coconut?
He's loco.
Oh, yeah, he's a little crazy.
Yeah.
That's bilingual. Very nice. How's school going for you, Paulina?
Good. I'm already done with it.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah.
That's it. Time to go to work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm having summer school.
Oh, you're going to summer school? Oh, Drew, when are you going to give these kids a break?
You're ice skating every day, too, huh?
Yep.
Now, are you in first grade?
I'm going to second.
Going to second. And what are you learning?
I don't know.
Little reading?
Yeah.
Probably reads better than I do.
Yes.
Yeah. You think I'm kidding? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she has a big future ahead of her. What do you want to be when you grow up? Let me guess. A veterinarian. You want to work with animals?
Yep.
Yep. Is there a young girl on in America who did not want to be a veterinarian at some point in her life? But you can do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Daddy will pay for all that college. And then after 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years, when you graduate, you just go and you take more college.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then it's then more after that. Then you get to work with all the hamsters you want.
Yep. Like I have a hamster.
That's right. They're smart. They finally made these hamster cages out of plastic.
Yeah.
When
travel cages.
Yeah, I had one. They had a rusted wheel with an old playing card in it. Yeah. And it would be like, all night long, just squeaking away. And then the hamsters start gnawing on the metal, and then they get to that sheet metal at the bottom and start scraping on it. It was really, you might as well just taking your nails and dragging them down a chalkboard, honestly. Fine, and how long have you had Herman?
How long did I have him, Daddy?
About 2 months.
About 2 months.
Recently.
Yeah, she said it was about 6 months, but that's a good part about being a kid. All right, well, you'll have him for a good long time. I think the average life...
He turned 2 today.
He turned 2?
Yep.
Yeah,
she just decided that.
Oh, I see. Well, happy birthday, Herman. And hamsters live to, what, 30, 35 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hi, Paulina, thank you. Take a little nap now, okay?
Please.
Oh, there she goes. She passed out. She passed right out. Michael?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
No problem.
Been listening for about 5 years.
Good times.
Sorry to hear that Fox left away.
Oh, yes.
Good old guy.
Oh, it was very tragic.
Yeah. Well, first, before I get into my serious thing, I'd like to say I'd like to hear more shuffles. More Drew and Adam shuffles.
Well, we heard the Drew boogie, I believe, last week.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, now on to my serious question. I'm about to go out with this girl. Like, we've been majorly flirting and so on. And she went to a rave last night. And, like, there was a part where she said she was drinking some of this guy's soda. And, like, she can't remember about a half hour of the rave.
Mm.
And then when she came home, she had bruises on her breasts and her inner thighs.
Wow.
So, like, she was pretty hesitant to tell me, but, like, she just said something happened. And so I kind of, like, tried to, in a roundabout way, find out what it was. And she finally told me.
Yeah.
And said, give me a couple days before I talk to you. And then so I said, all right. And that was, like, earlier today. So I'm wondering, like, what do I do?
All right. Michael, is this your girlfriend or is this somebody you're interested in?
Like,
He's fixing to go out.
Yeah, we're pretty much about to go out.
About to go out, sir.
I see. So in that case, every woman in North America is potentially one of my new gals.
Yes. You're fixing to go out each other.
Including Paulina over there, Drew. I hate to break
that. That's why she's in the room.
Yeah, she's, I could chew through that glass, no problem. Hold on, let me talk to Drew for a second. I'm not so sure she thinks of herself as Michael's next girlfriend. As much as Michael thinks of her as his next girlfriend.
Right, I suspect not.
And she's kind of going out to raves and having a good time, and Michael's hanging out.
Yeah.
She wants a few days. Sounds like something happened at that rave.
Yeah.
Something that may not have been good, something that she doesn't want to talk about.
Something pretty serious. And
possible rape.
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah?
How long have you known her?
About half a year.
Same amount of time Pauline has had the hamster?
Yeah.
And why haven't you been going out with her for the last 6 months?
Well,
no.
I would honestly say it's about 3 months, but
same amount of time Paulina said the answer. Yeah.
But she's never really had a boyfriend before.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'm taking it real slow with her, and I don't want to force her into anything.
I see. You won't want to hurt the kid.
No.
Yeah. Although she is at raves doing X and getting passed around like a joint at a Doobie Brothers reunion. Nice. All right. Hey, Michael, I'm not so sure this is going to be your next girlfriend.
Yeah. And if it is,
you really think she is?
Could be a little wild.
Yeah, I do.
You really do. What has she said to you? Have you kissed her?
Almost, but like her mom's Hispanic.
I see.
Like she doesn't want her dating until she's 17.
I see. Well, as long as you've almost kissed her.
And she goes to raise instead of dating?
No, she,
You know this Catholic.
No, it was like a big rave, like everybody in town was there.
Oh, okay. I see.
It wasn't one of those intimate situations where three or four people get together and rave.
Oh, my God.
What planet you figure Michael's living on? Oh, boy, I got to say, hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. I really would question whether this girl wants to be your next girlfriend. I really do. And I know that's your plan. Lord knows I've had plans for people in my life that they were unaware of and still don't know about to this day.
A shock, in fact, to find out they're part of a plan.
Had they found out that I even knew there was a plan for them, they'd just sue me. Michael, you need to get a little more in touch with reality. You know what I'm saying?
Possibly.
Yeah, why don't you find a nice girl, you know, one that's slowed down a little, one that's ready for a relationship, one who's interested in you. I'm not sure she's that interested.
All right.
I didn't mean to burst the kid's bubble, but, you know, it starts as his girlfriend, then it works up to he's was working into it, then he's known her for 6 months, except for it's really 3 months, and, well, he would have kissed her, except for... Her mom doesn't want her going out with anybody.
She's going to rave.
Yeah.
And getting raped.
Right.
But it's because she forgot. Somebody will set their dog that she wouldn't otherwise have taken.
Right.
And how do you get guys off of that laser beam obsession they get with the one?
Okay. Let me explain something to all you young men listening to the show and some older men and women. Here's the ultimate bottom line. The bottom line is what happens. You want to know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is the bottom line. That's the bottom line.
But the bottom line is,
do you go out?
But
do you have sex? Does she call?
But then
do you have a relationship? Now, all the other reasons, the family members that don't want this, the people that are coming in and out of town, the, let me take care of this, or we live too far apart,
you don't go up and talk to them. I mean, how much time do you give yourself before you go, okay, I've got to get on to my next, at least on to my next obsession? 2 months? 3 months?
At least the amount of time that Paulina... Had the hamster. That's all I can say. All the amount of time that I spent in high school thinking about, obsessing about, planning about, and getting nothing from somebody is, I'll tell you, hey, if I could capture that time, I'd build a small city. In a shorter period of time. Yeah. I really do. Earl?
Yeah.
Can you complete with a monorail?
Okay.
From scratch. Earl, you're 17. What's up?
I don't know. My girlfriend, we've been going out for about 7 months now, and I always feel like she's cheating on me. I have no basis for it.
You've known her for 7 months?
We've been going out for 7 months.
She is your girlfriend for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a little worried now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been
duped.
We've been duped, yeah. Once bitten, twice shy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so are you having sex with her?
Yeah.
Yeah, and why do you think she's cheating?
That's just it. I just don't see why she would want me, and I don't know.
You have such low self-esteem, you figure she's going somewhere else, huh?
I guess.
Well, eventually you'll force it to her, too.
Yes.
Eventually you will.
Okay.
You understand that? Yes, yeah. You might as well just act like you belong there. Women, especially, really tap into that.
Yeah.
If you sit around and tell them enough times that I don't deserve you, eventually they'll go, you know what? You're right.
You don't deserve me.
Yeah. Men, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not into that energy, good or bad. It doesn't matter. We're attracted to the person.
We're into them. Yeah.
If the fact that they think they're fat, worthless, and unattractive, and not attractive to any other man but you, great. So be it. Fantastic. We can't get enough of that. We really can't.
We are really such simple beings.
I know. You sell that premise to a woman and
they'll take it.
Yeah. You're right. You're not good enough for me. Absolutely. All right, let's one more quickie for real quick. Hit the break here. Jimmy?
Hello.
26, your ex-wife's boyfriend molested his kid.
Okay, so let's see. Let's get down to the bottom of this. That dilemma is being taken care of. My oldest child is now in therapy for it. There is a search out for the guy.
Right.
That did it. My main problem is that I've always known that she picked screwy men. At the time, I was screwy when I was with her.
Right.
Straightened out, done better for myself. I'm in a much better place. I found out tonight she's on the road again. And I'm not really sure where to turn to eliminate this problem.
How about getting custody of the kids?
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Get an attorney.
Yeah.
Get an attorney or legal aid society. Get custody.
Yes, they have all sorts of societies for fathers now, fathers' rights advocates and groups, and you can open a phone book, find them, talk to them. That'll be a good place to start. We'll be back. Yep, well, that's about it. Listen, stay tuned this week. Big week plans. Snoop Dogg, SDP, no doubt, Cisco. Everclear, Matthew McConaughey, 311, lit, and the list goes on and on. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Good night.
Well, now.
This is the Love Line. The stuff expressed on Love Line is not necessarily the stuff of the staff, management, sponsors, or anyone else, including Westwood One Entertainment. Love Line is produced by Ann Wilkins Ingold. Now, please enjoy these birds.